Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
I brought you into this world.
A machine that can think and feel.
Fearful of something they don't understand.
The problem with artificial intelligence is it's way too unpredictable.
You know what's a black sheep?
No.
It's like when you're different to everyone else.
You taught us so much more than I could ever imagine.
Gonna make you cool and tough.
Don't laugh, I'm being cool.
This robot, he's gonna be removed.
He's just a kid.
He could be the next step in evolution.
I am consciousness. I am alive. I am Chappie.
That's the trailer for the movie Chappie. Raises existential questions. You know what those are? Those are questions of, as the word might suggest, existence. What is life? What is alive? If something is sufficiently sophisticated that you can't tell the difference between it and a person, does that mean it's alive? That's an old scientific question. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday afternoon. It's March the 12th. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Pastor Ted Giese will join us here for the first half hour, so we're going to review that movie, Chappie, and answer some of the questions that it raises a little bit later. Terry Mattingly will be with us. We're going to talk about some media coverage of celebrities and their faith. Why does the press not get that, and what kind of questions can they ask, say, when a celebrity has a pastor? Can they intervene in that situation? We'll answer some of those questions a little bit later. Then Dr. Robert George will join us. We'll take up two issues. First, the big one, whether or not the Supreme Court will eventually rule on same-sex marriage. What will it rule, according to his best guess, and how will they make that ruling? What will be their logic, their thinking, their reasoning? We'll also talk about Notre Dame's legal challenge to the HHS contraception mandate. We'll round everything off today on this Thursday afternoon with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, doing Christ in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 21, the famous serpent on a pole. Now, you can join us with questions or comments for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or our beloved on-demand listeners can always join us with questions or comments whenever you're listening, wherever you're listening, 618-223-8382. That's the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the movie Chappie, Pastor Ted Giese. He's a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
It raises all sorts of existential questions, this movie, apparently. Even the trailer kind of shows that. But what kind of religious questions? How would you reframe those questions in terms of a Christian viewer?
I think one of the main things for a Christian viewer is, in addition to those existential kind of philosophical questions, is an ever-growing anxiety associated with death and dying in our modern technologically advanced world. that's kind of one of the things where I think we're, as Christians watching this movie, you're going to really start thinking about stuff. Because it's all really about this kind of maybe a Gnostic view of the body just being this thing that is eventually going to be shucked off, and then your consciousness will go somewhere else. There's a character in the film that expresses that very idea to Chappie, this droid with a consciousness. Christians, of course, aren't going to go in for this Gnostic idea, and we're looking for the resurrection of the dead. But that's kind of where things start hinging, is this resurrection of the dead versus the death of the body, and how all of that fits together with consciousness, and then what you do with that if it's not a human that we're talking about. That's kind of where the religious questions start coming in. And the director, this Neil Blomkamp, who had made movies like District 9 and Elysium, in this movie, I was doing a little bit of research and came across an ing.ca interview that he did. And he very clearly puts his cards on the table, and really he's focused in on evolution. He's not really as concerned with religious questions. He says, well, if you're thinking about it from a purely religious standpoint, you know, people shouldn't be giving birth to something else like this. It's God's work. We're humans. We should just be happy with being human. But then, you know, he kind of moves into this idea of evolution. And from that point of view, he's thinking about evolution, not really caring whether an organism is silicon-based or carbon-based or whatever, that intellectual meddling won't stop the development of evolution. So these are all kind of things that are kind of swirling around the background of this movie.
Okay, give us a little bit of the plot. We've kind of tipped our hands a little bit with those questions there, but it's science fiction, obviously. It is set in what this director likes to do, the dystopic future of man. Not too distant in the future, is it?
Not in this case, no. 2016, so buckle up, apparently. It's going to be... really, he does this dystopic future, and that's the setting of it. And I didn't have time or room in the article to put this in the review, but essentially this is the Frankenstein story. So, you know, Dr. Frankenstein takes dead body parts, and through a quote-unquote scientific process, he brings it back to life. And essentially, if you read the Frankenstein book, the name that's given to the monster is Adam. It kind of starts from scratch. It has to learn everything from scratch and become who it's going to become. And it has this kind of unusual relationship with its creator, and is trying to figure its way out in the world. Like, this is the Frankenstein story. So in this case, what you have is a computer programmer, Dion, played by this Dev Patel, and he has created this line of droids that are being used by the Johannesburg Police Department in South Africa. And this one particular scout droid, number 22, gets terribly damaged. So basically now it's like a broken dead body. And he has written a kind of computer code which transcends artificial intelligence and has a consciousness, and he wants to test it, but he's denied a test subject for it. So he steals this broken scout number 22 and uploads this consciousness into the robot. And now this droid is just like an infant, is now learning what it means to live. And has basically only 7 days because his battery is infused with his chassis, and after 7 days, the battery is going to run out, and you can't replace it. So that's where the whole death and dying kind of element comes back in the story. The other thing that happens in the course of the movie is that he really ends up, this robot ends up in the hands of some small-time criminals who owe money to a mob boss, and they're trying to convince the robot into this droid into being involved in an armored car heist. And then there's an additional antagonist who is another computer engineer and programmer who is against the idea of artificial intelligence at all. And the idea that an artificial intelligence could have sentience and be conscious is an additional affront to that person. And the name of the character is Vincent Moore, played by Hugh Jackman, and provides another kind of element of antagonism. Happens also to be the only, not the only, but the most obvious Christian character in the movie, and also a big villain.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that, because this would kind of be straight out of central casting. You got to have someone who has religious sensibilities, usually a distorted picture of religious sensibilities, because I don't think the average Christian really struggles a lot with artificial intelligence. We think more about the image of God and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But is it a fair representation of what some Christians might have about the whole issue?
Well, it's kind of funny. He's definitely a villain. His concern is that a droid with a conscience would be very unpredictable, and that it would cause problems. And of course, that's actually what happens in the movie. So his premise isn't wrong, but he is set up as a villain, and it's very clear that he's a villain. Like he at one point threatens Dion, the maker of the droid, literally putting a gun in his face, in his cubicle in the office. And then as soon as he's done doing that, he instantly says, "Oh yeah, it was just a joke and whatever, and oh, by the way, come to church on Sunday." So this is like quite a problematic character from the standpoint of a Christian, because generally speaking, that's not how I invite people to church on Sunday. I don't really want to say he's a complex character, because he really isn't, but the problem in this movie, I guess, or the interesting thing in this movie, I suppose, is that there are no characters that are good, not any of them. So even this most obvious Christian character, who's clearly a villain, who is worried about robots not being moral, is not moral himself. He's questionably, his morals are questionable. He threatens people's lives. He acts in violent ways. He's petty and vindictive. But there aren't any characters that shine completely without sin. They all, to a varying degree, are broken, troubled, sinful individuals. And that's kind of interesting, because that gets into the kind of fallen nature of everyone. So that can be another angle that Christians would be interested in when watching the movie, that there are no pretend, fake, perfect, squeaky clean characters in here.
What about with about a minute here before our break, what about the Chappie character? Is it simply an innocent? Is there evidence of the fall there too?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's certainly innocent, because it literally doesn't know anything when it comes into consciousness. But you, along the way, discover that, like, its consciousness was made by a person, right? So, like, it was literally computer code that was written by this Dion, the engineer. So whatever he puts in it, it has too. So if the programmer's got problems, then the program has got problems. So yeah, it appears very innocent at first, but over the course of time, this is nature versus nurture kind of stuff. Over the course of time, the robot, this droid, Chappie, also is becoming involved in criminal activities, and is at one point lecturing somebody about using violence while beating the person up.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest reviewing the movie Chappie on this Thursday afternoon, March the 12th. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. We'll be right back.
Why do you think the way you do? And what about your friends, your neighbors, your church? Is it because of what the scriptures say, or is it because they only think what the world has told them to think?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Making the case for the church's response to postmodernism will be a crash course in the who's who of the postmodern pagan mindset, with a hard-hitting look at both the assumptions of the American pop culture world and the rarely mentioned but catastrophic effects that may not yet affect you, but will certainly affect your children.
You can meet and hear Pastor Jonathan Fisk making the case for the church's response to postmodernism June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Don't wait to register. Attendance is limited to 400. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, we're reviewing the movie Chappie. Pastor Ted Giese joins us, as he regularly does every week, for a movie review. Ted, let's talk a little bit about some of the aesthetic qualities of the movie. You mentioned it briefly before, that it kind of has that, what, maybe grim tone to it. Talk a bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, it's a really, in a lot of ways, it's a very grim, violent movie. But the aesthetic qualities, like it builds on these other films like District 9 and Elysium that he's done. But the aesthetic qualities are really interesting. It's super duper, in spots, hyper real. Like they really want to bring into sharp focus like the mundane, harsh details of ordinary urban South African street life. Also corporate cubicle culture, like right down to like lanyards and stuff, and then also the industrial manufacturing kind of thing. So all of what that does is it creates this sense of realism for it. And of course, this is a sci-fi movie, and it's only set a couple years in the future. But that sense of realism, hyper-realism in spots, adds legitimacy to the questions that are being asked, because it kind of drags everything into the present almost for people. There's enough stuff here that's going to be familiar looking, and then that should get people's minds jogged when it comes to the questions that are being asked. So that's kind of an interesting thing to watch for if you end up seeing this movie. And I'm not really recommending that all people see this movie, because it's rated R and it is really rough and violent in parts. There are some elements of it. It's like got a lot of action. There's a couple of really good thrill ride moments in it. So if you do like that kind of thing, that's pretty appealing. But that hyper-real kind of quality to it, really kind of shines in this one kind of area, which I thought was interesting, is that the surrogate family to this Chappie, the droid, with the conscience, with the soul, because they talk about it in those kind of case, in that kind of language at points, is the surrogate family is the front people for this South African rap rave group, De Antwoord. And they're essentially playing themselves. It's like they're playing themselves with a droid that they're convincing to go do a bank, like an armored car robbery. And these two actors who play the, like, in real life are rap musicians. This, and then the name is Ninja and Yolandi, are these two two people. And they're really, they again lend kind of a grounded kind of realism to the movie, even though they're outlandish characters, because they're playing themselves. So there's kind of this documentary realism going on. And it's this thing that is South African people would probably recognize. It's something called Zef culture. And Zef, Z-E-F, is, it's kind of like a really hyper street culture, kind of something maybe a little bit like rap culture, but with its own flavor and kind of also hillbilly-ish as well. And I think that that's, there's an alluringness to the grounded nature of the way the aesthetic is in the movie that could add something to the legitimacy of the questions being asked. Because really, actually, no one is going to have a soul except for a person. And what the movie is dealing with is the idea that an inanimate object could have a soul. And that is outside of the pale of what Christians would see as possible.
So finally, what's the basic argument or message that's being put forward by Chappie?
Well, I guess when you look at it from a purely evolutionary perspective, which I think actually is the core of what Blomkamp is coming from, the message behind it is kind of misanthropic. It's, you're not that special. You know, evolution, quote-unquote, will advance consciousness, whether it's with humans or whether it's in some other way, because that's what evolution will do. And I guess that's kind of a really grim, dark kind of underlying message in the movie, I think. But you do have that kind of Frankenstein monster story going on, and you do have, you know, this, you know, and I don't want to give away the end of the movie, but essentially the problem of death and losing your body in death, as far as the director's concerned, is something that has to be dealt with in the present and can't be dealt with in terms of a resurrection on the last day. There is no hope set in Jesus anywhere in this movie, and even your major Christian character doesn't talk about it in that way. He doesn't have, like, a soliloquy at some point or some sort of speech where he talks about Jesus and the resurrection of the body. That doesn't even enter in. You're bringing that with you into the theater as a Christian when you sit down in the movie theater. It's an interesting movie and visually arresting in parts, but I don't think that it's going to be providing any kind of answers that are going to be satisfactory for a Christian if they're wrestling with these ideas.
Folks, before going to the movies, I highly recommend that you read Pastor Ted Giese's movie reviews. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.